Let me say this. We'll try to explain whatever we can about it. But it, you know, the prophets are feeding her yea and nay. That is, they have already come on the scene and they leave the middle of the week. But it's like a cow chewing cud. You know, it's from what they say that she finds her feeding. That is to say, what they have taught her is like here a lot of times, I say things and it doesn't dawn on the people until later. And you plant a seed and you don't get the grain until much later. And the tutoring and teaching doesn't really find its reality in their heart until after they see this thing and the Antichrist closes in and their prophets are killed. And when the woman flees for her life, then she understands. See, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he kills the two prophets. And this, of course, is what's going to really wake the woman up to see what has happened. Because up until this point, there has been a covenant. And this covenant has been made with Israel. They've made a covenant. And the covenant isn't broken until the middle of the week. So that is why that she flees into the wilderness. At the breaking of the covenant. And the breaking of the covenant has to do with Antichrist being cast out. First, it has to do with him coming in and Satan being cast out of heaven. And then the Antichrist cast out at the last of the week, or toward the last of the week. But that brings in a whole lot of things. And some of these things I'll make mention of. It might be a little confusing unless you listen real close. This question is, what is the everlasting gospel and the gospel of King? Okay, this was asked the other night, and maybe we can bring that in this thought. Let's go back and just analyze things and see if the Lord will say anything to us concerning it. This happens, Brother John. This happens over in Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second war is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Then it says, And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Most of this down to the earthquake, where a tenth part of the city fell, 7,000 slain. Most of this is in the sounding of the sixth trumpet. The sounding of the seventh trumpet was when the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdoms of our God. Let's analyze it for just a minute and see what we can find. It is said in Revelation 10 and 7, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Remember, six angels has already sounded. Started sounding in Revelation 8. They sounded through 9, through 10. And in 10 and 7, this is said that there's one yet to sound. It said the mystery of God should be finished when he sounds. Between the sounding of this trumpet and the sounding of the seventh trumpet, it is said that an angel puts one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, raises his hand to heaven, swears by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. His head is in the clouds. We mentioned that the other night as to what meaning and significance this has. It is said here that there were seven thunders. John took a little book. He ate it. It was bitter to the belly, sweet as honey in his mouth. In that the seventh trumpet in 11:15 sounds, then that means that the mystery of God is finished from that point on. It said, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And in Revelation 11:15, it sounds. So then from that point on, from the sounding of that trumpet forward, or that is to say from the 11th chapter, the 15th verse, then the mystery of God is declared to be finished. And what is the declaration of it? When the trumpet sounds, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, we see what happens when he sounds. It is the end of the world. A lot of people say, This man was the trumpeter, and that man was the trumpeter, and this sounded at a certain time, and that sounded at a certain time, or he's going to sound at a certain time. And they do that out of speculation, and they do that out of what they conjure up in their minds. They don't read the scripture, and they don't have any scriptural foundation for what they're saying. They just say, that's the way it is, because that's the way I think it. But see, it's very evident that when this angel sounded, it says, And the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So somebody says, When will the seventh angel sound, Brother Pye? It makes it very obvious that he sounds right at the time of the end of the world. the kingdoms of God immediately are made manifest. It says at that time that the elders fall on their face to worship God, to give Him thanks. And they say to Him, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was, and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and hast reigned." All right, we know that Jesus comes into the picture. That is, He takes over His power and authority at this time. It's very evident that He does. See, can the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God unless Jesus takes over? There isn't any way. So then what is this seventh trumpeter? He is the one that makes the declaration, the sounding of the last trumpet, to bring in the kingdom of God and to make the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ. When does it happen? At a time, it says, when the nations were angry. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come. At what time does He sound? The Bible said, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It says, and the seventh trumpet sounded, or the seventh angel sounded. And it was said, and the time of the dead is here, that they should be judged. So when does the trumpeter sound? He sounds to bring forth the dead. He sounds at the time of the resurrection. He sounds at the end of the world. He sounds in the middle of the week, to the extent that at this point, that the man-child is caught up to the throne, and the woman goes away in the wilderness. He sounds at the time of the coming in of the Jews, not at the time of the sealing of the Jews, which is the first of the week, over around the seventh chapter, but He sounds at the coming in of the Jews, to the extent that they have been sealed, and the child has never yet been born to be caught up to the throne as pertaining to the Lord Jesus, in that salvation is of the Jew and salvation is in His name, and Jesus comes from the Jews. So then the resurrection, Calvary, then the resurrection, and then the Lord went away, but it is not made manifest until the end of the church ages. This is what I was talking about the other day. See, Calvary is made manifest right here when you see this about the angel with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. It is made manifest when you see right here where there's a great travail in heaven, where this woman has the moon under her feet. It is made manifest in Revelation 12, where Lucifer is cast out and the dragon personified, that is the serpent. What I'm saying is, when was I healed, if I was healed at all? The people that's been healed in our age, they've been healed. Like the woman that had cancer back under the tent over in Indiana, the woman was healed. Now, when was she healed? She was healed over there under the tent when we prayed for her, according to the doctor. Now, but the thing is, was that really when she was healed? According to the Bible said this was given unto us in Christ before the world ever was. And then brought to light at Calvary. Then the question arises, was she healed at Calvary? Or was she healed over there? She was healed in the foreknowledge, but it wasn't brought to light till Calvary. So we say she was healed at Calvary as to the knowledge of it. Then we say, but she was healed over there in the tent. Why would you say she was healed over in the tent rather than back at Calvary or in the foreknowledge? First of all, in the foreknowledge, she'd never come forth. Over at Calvary, she'd never been born. By the time we got to 10 over there, she was a grown woman. So then she got her healing. I would get all confused because I would say, well, where was she healed? See, I'm saying that to say this. He gave it to us in Christ before the world ever was. He rent the veil and revealed it as our hidden treasure at Calvary. It was preached down through the church ages, and then when the woman was born, she was heir to it. But the Bible said, though you be heir to all, yet you differ nothing from a child because you are under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. So then when was her time of healing? It was under the tent. This is what I'm saying about this. See, this thing happened at Calvary, but all down through the church ages it comes. And it's not made manifest, and we've not comprehended it. Though it was done in the mind of God before the world ever was, in that all of the works of God are known unto him from the beginning. But it wasn't brought to light until Calvary. And then when the veil was rent, the curtains moved back, and the scene was already set for the last great drama. So then that means that in the mind of God it was. If you've ever played on the stage, if you've ever performed on the stage, I have. You're back there and you're real tense because you're waiting for the curtains to open. And your audience is out there and you want everything to be just right. You're running to and fro and you're just trying to get everything just right. But see, all of that is something that's already set on the stage. You've already rehearsed. You've already gone through it. You know exactly what you're going to do. Every man knows their part. But nobody sees it. Nobody knows it. It's been advertised. It might be a week. It might be a month. See, and everybody's in great expectation, but nobody knows what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden here, the veil is rent in twain, the curtains roll back, and then there it is, the scene. But it's been there all the time. Every bit of it. Somebody says, now that's the first time he ever sang that song. He's probably sang it dozens of times trying to get it right so he won't blunder when you hear it. And you're just carried away with it, and he's just about sick of it. He's done sung it so much. See, so I'm saying that to say this. It's like a man by the name of Eddie Arnold. Eddie, outstanding recording artist. They say before he will sing a song on the stage that he's recorded, like if it's been 3 years or something, that he'll go back and he'll take that record and he'll play it and he'll listen. He'll play and he'll listen. Over and over until he can go on stage and sing it exactly like he recorded it. See, so when the curtains come open, and when you see this thing, that's the first time. It was already, but now it's brought to light. Calvary, the veil is rent in twain. Now, and so then you go through that thing from the beginning, all the way from Calvary, come to the church ages, one trumpeter and another, one sounding and another, all the way down until the last church age. That is, you sit there until the last act of the play. And then at the end of it, as the curtains get ready to go together, you've comprehended. You begin to comprehend what has taken place. So given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at Calvary and comprehended in the end time. Paul, so that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. That is to say, how could I comprehend it? I wasn't even born until the end time. I couldn't comprehend it until my day because I had never been born. I couldn't get it. I had to wait over here to receive my healing that I had before the world ever was. I was healed by his stripes at Calvary. But I wasn't even born to be partakers of it. I had to wait over here. And this is why that the book of Revelation is so astounding and so baffling. Is because these things have already taken place. Just look at this. 96 A.D. That's just a few years after Jesus was crucified. Say 33 and then over to 96. And here the entire book of Revelation is wrote. And there it is, and here I am many hundreds of years getting it. See, and it comes open to me, and I think, Well, praise God, it's been a long time. Nobody's got this, and here I'm getting this. Come open to me. And I say, now here I am with the revelation. Praise God. Took all this time for this book to be opened up, and I'm the one that's got it. But what about Paul? Paul said that he had the revelation, was called up to the third heaven. What about John? John had the revelation. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of things we could say about that in the day that we're living in. In that the Bible said the end of a matter is better than the beginning. And of course, the book of Revelation is the end of all things as pertaining to God from the origin, even the foreknowledge of God. Bringing it to a great climax or a great finale as to, we say, the great finals. So then, in this, we can see that these things have already taken place, but they are brought to us when the veil of our intellectual reasoning is taken away, then comes the light. Like Brother Dole Lightfoot, he was working down there in the pyramid. I say these things a lot of times to bring out some present day revelation so that you can move in the mind of God and see that things is happening right now. It's one thing to read the Bible as a printed page. Another thing to look back at the Old Testament to find the allegoric things that's revealed unto the apostles and prophets. And then it's another thing altogether to have the veil move back and in this very day in which we live, see what the Heavenly Father is doing and walk in His way. That's another thing altogether. So, it was yesterday, I believe it was, down at Dole. He was cleaning the chandelier, the great, big, beautiful chandelier that Brother Jerry Lambert and his son gave us. It was all tarnished, and he was up there cleaning it up. Very highly significant. He worked and worked for hours and hours on it. He was using some stuff from Amway. So he was cleaning it up. Now, while he was up there doing it, I happened to come in and made a few comments. And Dahl, he's curious about spiritual things. And he was wondering about the significance of it. And I began to point out how that each one of the little lights went in every direction as to world evangelism. And they're fastened to a little old globe like a world. And I was trying to tell him what it meant as to the light. And the Bible said, and the Lamb is the light of that city. Brother Jerry brought it in. That great pyramid there, because it is a pyramid city according to the Bible. And I was speaking of it. And then, of course, the chains. There's one great chain that comes down from the pyramid. And then there is 12 chains that runs out from it. Four here, and four here. Which is 12. Like Jesus and the 12 apostles. Which it all has significance. I'm just saying like unto. And David Paul came in and we were standing there. And David wanted to show me how good the stuff was that Dahl was using. So he picked up a penny. He got a penny from somebody. I can't remember who now. Got it from you, Dahl. Okay, he got it from Dahl. Now it really has to do with Dahl and Chris anyway. And the boats. But he got the penny, and the penny was real dark looking. You know how copper will turn. So David, he just sticks half of it, the back half, down into the little jar. He leaves it on there just a second or two, and he swipes it off. And we got a two-tone penny. Because it come nice and shiny. And I heard something say to me, turn the penny around and dip the other side down. Because this has to do with the rent veil. And I looked, and sure enough, there was Abe Lincoln in half on the back side, and he was all nice and shiny. And on the front side, the veil hadn't been removed. I dipped it down in there, you know. The Bible said they entered into the vineyard, and every man got a penny. I left it on for a few minutes, and after a while, I shined it off, and there was his face. And then we had a complete penny. And I said, now see, there it is, the rent veil. And now the whole thing is opened up. And David, he got excited because he saw something and he said, just think, said, I am the way. Amway is what done. See, I'm just saying as in a present day thing and God moving, that was highly significant. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you're such a fool, Brother Pike. I really am. Believe it or not, I really am. It took me a long time to discover it, but I really am. It's like somebody said one time, said, I'm a fool for Christ, and whose fool are you? But anyway, Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ. It's like somebody was telling me the other day about one of his in-laws, I believe. He said that he never has disputes, said he never has any problems, said he just don't dispute with nobody. Said his wife told him, said, you're sorry. He said, I know it. Said, you're no good. He said, I know it. Said, I ain't no good. I ain't worth nothing. And said, he just never has no disputes. So it's like this. See, the veil was rent in twain. There, the veil was gone. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to get us to a place to where he can rend the veil. It's already been rent at Calvary. He can rend the veil. Which veil has to do with your inner man and your outer man? Well, the Bible said that he made in himself twain, both the Lord and Christ. He made in himself twain for my sake. That was for my benefit. That he might rend the veil in twain, separating the body from the spirit, or the Lord from the Christ. That he might rend my veil, separating my inner man from my outer man, that he might take my inner man as a spirit sealed by his spirit as a son of God into the glory world. And that he might account for as this body being dead and buried in a watery grave, that he may never again charge me with anything. That I could never again be charged with anything. I stand here and I talk to you. And some of you feel like you understand faith. And I know you don't understand faith. With all of that I preached, you don't understand faith. I know you don't. Because faith is a great, mighty mystery. And though all of you try to believe, and you do believe at times, you still don't understand faith. See, the same way with the Scriptures. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And I'm a steward of the mystery. So then the little insignificant nothing, as you would say, a little penny, God choosing the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. And the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to your natural thinking. As a natural man, to your natural reasoning, to your natural thinking, it's foolishness. You know, I talk about this little penny. I talk about the rending of the veil. I talk about what great significance it had. And somebody says, oh, thou fool. The same person will go and they'll take a few little numbers and a little chalk and put it on the board. And they'll put 2 and 2 is 4 and 5 is 10. And they'll mess around with a bunch of junk. But to them, that's the all great important education. Who's the fool? See, what's important, at least I got a penny, you ain't got nothing. I'm just saying this, that there is a great thing that's happening right now in all of these little things, like the penny, like the rustling in the mulberry tree to David. God said, when you hear the rustling that's in the mulberry tree, said, then the movie's on. So see, God speaks to us in all of these things. Like the old Indian sign language. Just a puff, puff, puff with a blanket from a little fire. And that meant you better get on your horse and go because trouble's on its way. See, and David can interpret. The hieroglyphics wrote these things that were just carved or engraved along in caves or any place down in Egypt. See, it brought on a civilization. People interpreted. People interpreted and they got things from that. See, significance, sign language, languages of signs or significance. So then, these things have great spiritual value, great spiritual significance, and God brings it in terms that are foolish to the natural mind, because the Bible teaches he hides it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. And the way he does that is making it so simple. So simple. It can be revealed to a child if he's willing to learn. Now, like for instance, right now we're talking about the woman going into the wilderness. All right? What good is that to us? Somebody said, that's just a lot of writing. The woman going into the wilderness, what's that got to do with me getting to heaven? Well, a lot more than you'd ever imagine. But nevertheless, the value of it is that it's God's word. And we're commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So then we're talking about the woman. What does that mean to me? What good is that to me, especially at this time? Well, I like to know it. I want to know it. I spend my life trying to understand it. And I do understand it because of his goodness, not because of my marriage. So then I'm saying that this programs my mind to the point of an intellectual conception of God's way of life. What God wants, what God's doing, what God's saying. This is the thing that we need. You go to school, you spend hours and hours and years for nothing to get a bunch of junk. Science, which means knowledge. Knowledge, falsely so called. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, look at what this knowledge can do. How great is this knowledge? I've got this great education and I'm a great person. Okay, let's just analyze it. You spend all of your life to get this great knowledge, to get this great job, to feed your belly, because all of your labor is for your belly. That's all it was. You spent all of your life trying to learn how to feed your belly better than somebody else could feed their belly. That's all it amounts to. Every bit of it, including you and all of your devices and all of your refineries and everything, the Bible said, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, is fallen. Where's all the dainties? Where's all the pretty clothes? Where's all the musical boxes, the pianos and the organs and the buildings and everything else? Said, and he is burned. So you didn't get nothing. You didn't do nothing. You just wasted your time. But this that I'm getting isn't like that. So then I learn about Jesus. All of that was a symbol. All of that was the husk that the swine did eat. They filled their belly because that's what all their labor was for. So I read this. I learn about this. I'm going to school in God. I'm giving my life to God. You seek to save your life here, you lose it. Because everything's a lying vanity. But you give your life here to God, and then God just shucks the whole thing down, counts your body dead by the body of Christ Jesus at Calvary, buries it in a watery grave, takes your spirit out of that old shuck, and takes it into heaven, and it is sealed to where Satan can never touch it. And you are eternally preserved unto an eternal joy, bliss, life, whatever. So then we say the woman goes into the wilderness. Let's read it. And there appears a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This was the question. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as the flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say in the 13th chapter, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads that it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? I'm going to try to hurry along and say a few things here, because I know the sanctuary is going to cool off, and I'm not going to have your attention. I can tell from the very beginning tonight I don't have your attention very well. Even though some of you really would like to get into something, you come to me and you pressed me to get into some things, but I know that we've got a lot of babes here, and I know that you're not going to get into it in your mind, so there's not going to be a lot of interest, and it's just going to, you know, I'll have to hurry along, say a few things, and let you out of here. Because there's a whole lot of things that needs to be said concerning this. If he's at a football game, some of you, I believe you could make it. You'd have to wrap up, but I believe you could make it to the end of the game. All right, now, what we're talking about is just eternal life. And of course, that isn't important, you know, to you. So, what then are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that the sounding of that trumpet brought the middle of the week. It brought the end of the world. It brought the change and the closing out of the Gentile age and brought in the Jews. Now then, the thought is, that's great. Someday that's going to happen. But this was wrote way back yonder, folks. This was wrote shortly after Calvary. Are you listening to me now? This was written shortly after Calvary. Way back yonder. And here we are in this day. See, and somebody says, and someday, Brother Pike, that's going to happen. But listen, here we are a long, long way down the trail from where this took place. But someday we say that's going to happen. Why do we do that? Because the Bible said the day of the Lord shall be a dark and a terrible day. And the Bible said it shall come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the earth as a snare. And they will not know when it's coming. They will not know when it's coming. Why is it that they will not know? Because, as I said about the penny, the veil is over their face. One time that was a nice, new, shiny penny. But over a period of time, the veil came over their face. One time you was a nice-looking little boy or girl with your pretty curls. But as time went on and age came about, a veil came over that inner man. Isn't any older. She isn't any older. She's still the same pretty little girl with the curl, the pigtails. He's still the fine, handsome little boy with a little dented place in his hair. A little pompadour. See, but the thing is, you can't see it anymore. What happened? He's got to be shined up again. See, he's got to be shined up again. The veil has got to be taken away. Messing around with darkness, intellectual reasoning, it took your life. For to be carnally minded is death. It brings a veil.
But nevertheless, underneath the veil, the penny was still just as shiny. All we had to do is just glorify it. Take away the old intellectual darkness and bring the light of God. And then the face of the man was seen. David, he dipped half of it. He took it away. Because Moses saw the hind part back to the kingdom of David. But in this day, then comes the rending of the veil as to the face and the facial expression, as seeing face to face, and the other part was gone. The other part was gone. And then we could see the spiritual side of it. See, as to the veil. Huh, somebody said, give me something better than a penny, Brother Pye. Okay, let's go a little farther. In the day that we're living in, something is happening. What is it? It is like Revelation 12, the war in heaven. All the time these things are happening. Let's take one example, for instance. Here is Brother Mike Bradley. Here is Brother Larry Keyes. Off to work they go. Going up the road, all of a sudden they go to make a turn. And just as they go to make a turn, here comes the blue light. And by it goes. Barely missed them. They whirl back around and said, oh my God. You know, and before they realize it, they go to make their turn again. And here comes one without the light. And smack right into them. Now, whose fault was it? It was the law's. Why was that? Because of what happened the other night, like David preaching. Seeing these things that was taking place. It has to do with the time of the child. I was preaching to you the fullness of time. And at that time comes the child. Somebody says, someday these things are going to happen. But see, you don't understand that someday's already come. And that all these years it's been waiting. And people have been saying that. And now something is happening. You say, well, you can't prove that, Brother Pike. If you've got your eyes open, you can. Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. So then, what did Mike and them do? There they were, the law. Now the law's folded up and laid away. Why? It was their fault. See, war in heaven, Michael fought. And I understand that when they had the wreck, they got them a good bath out of that white stuff, you know, that made them look like that they were all cleaned up. Change. But anyway, they were covered up pretty much according to what Larry said. So then, I'm saying that to get to a place to where I can make a point. And by the way, I think they was going to stop at George's place when that happened. But nevertheless, I'm simply saying that these things show something has taken place. David Paul preached the other night. See, I spoke of David having a significance as to representing the coming forth of the revelation. I know you don't understand. I watch your reactions. I watch the things you do, and you get so mixed up and so crossed up into things that you're doing. Until you don't understand. See, we are prone to put our eyes on people. Isn't that right? Brother Roberts, there he is. Keep your eyes on him. Brother Branham. Brother Pye. Brother whoever. You know, keep your eyes on him. But see, the song said, keep your eyes on Jesus. The idea is to keep your eyes on Jesus and to follow Brother Pike as he follows the Lord. Don't get your eyes on nobody, just on Jesus. Somebody says, glory to God, I've been trying to get rid of that preacher. I mean, that's your attitude, you know. Now, I've heard him say it, I can do it and feel relieved. You sure can. And when the garbage man comes by, he'll pick up the junkies. And you'll be on your way. Again, you don't see. See, we're extremists. We go to one way or another. We can't see. We can't understand. You say, well, what do you mean by that now, Brother Pike? You've got me confused. Well, this will probably confuse you more. Paul said, you received me as the Lord himself and would have plucked out your eyes for me. He didn't say anything about you not doing that. He said, where's the love you had when he was going to pluck your eyes out for me? I still want that. So he said, it's not me living but Christ. It's not me speaking but Christ. Let all the world keep silent. It's Christ. But see, I have to go into a lot to explain that. But I'm telling you, Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. I have no need to try to explain that. I can see that they're completely lost. Anyway, I'm saying that here is a present day truth. This little insignificant thing of the penny, this little insignificant nothing, and it didn't seem so insignificant to Mike and them when they felt the lick from the squad car. But anyway, I could detail it. We don't have enough drawing. We don't have enough spiritual arousing or awakening here to even try to get into anything. I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to try to get into it. I'm just going to mention one or two things and pass off. See, too much carnality and all of these things are foolishness to you. See, take a diamond and throw it to a pig, and in his snout it is nothing. For the swine will rend it, he will trample it under his feet and turn and rend you. See, so I'm just trying to say that there's things that are happening right now. The question is concerning the woman going into the wilderness. Okay, then what else was it, Brother Pike? I preached to you the fullness of time. And the ones that were able to see it, they saw that. But very few of you got a hold of that. That it is really happening. That at last it really happened. Some of us said, oh, bless God, this is just little Bethlehem, you know. And it's, they said that at another church and another church and another church. And someday, I know it's going to happen, but it ain't happened yet. We're just going to wait till it happens. Now, see, that's your ignorance. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. You think that I'm getting out of step because I said it's happened? Here at last, folks, this thing is taking place. It's happening. And you say, well, I don't think so. I still think we've got some time. You think I'm being a little forward? See, what you don't realize is this thing happened at Calvary hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But I'd be running way behind to even say, even to tell you that it's happening now, unless I understood what I was saying. So you're talking about me being a little bit presumptuous and thinking a little bit too much of Bethlehem and that now it's coming to pass when there's plenty of time yet. You're running way behind. This happened years and years ago. So I'm not being protruding at all. So I preached concerning the fullness of time. At the same time, as to a present day application, as to seeing again whether or not it's happening, Brother Jimmy Kirk is fixing to go into Mississippi. Why is Jimmy going over into a wilderness? You know the name Kirk? Going back to the German thing and back to intellectual reasoning or the life side of it as to humanity. Going back to the word church, Jimmy has represented that. He's represented that. Jimmy has been in a hard travail. How do you remember when I was down in Florida and in the vision, I was in hard travail. And from my life came forth a child. And have remembered that I was fasting and praying and working on the boat during the day. I was working, not just down there. And then preaching at night. And trying to carry the financial load. And I remember when the Spirit of the Lord came into my room during this time. And when it came in there, the song came into my heart. I didn't know what it was, but it began to sing from within me. And it began to sing like this. There's a new highway to glory, the one that Jesus trod. With the halo, we're marching the pathway to God. See, a new day is dawning. You remember how I brought it out? See, there's a brand new day. So, I said that to say this. Jimmy has gone through experiences. Women sometimes in their body gets into such a travail that their bodies actually just split open in the fleshly part all around. And I saw Jimmy's body split up all around just like that.
When all of a sudden,
now he's wanting to go to Mississippi. Why is that? Because there's something on the inside crying for retirement. Get out of here. Get away from this business. Get away from these things. Get away from these problems. The IRS, the old red dragon, that old thing is right down on him. Right down on him. Following, hounding everywhere he goes. See, get out of here. Let's go to another state. Let's get somewhere. Let's do something.
See what it is? It's Jimmy going into the wilderness. It's the church. It's the woman. The question was concerning the woman going into the wilderness. I'm talking about present day Adam. I'm talking about present day truth. You may not see anything. You may be blind. For the Bible said, and ye shall not see when good comes. It's foolishness to you. See, the penny is foolishness to you. What happened to Mike Bradley or Larry Keyes? That's foolishness to you. See, but it's not to me. See, it's the divine providence of God with the many multiplied things. This is just a tiny bit. Like down here in the basement, I began to speak to the brethren. And before I realized it, there was hundreds and thousands of things that knitted itself together with that one little thing that I was saying. I said that so that the brethren could see how broad this thing is. The Bible said if the things that Jesus had done had been put in a book, the world itself could not contain the book. I think Brother Klonek, some of those boys that was there, will tell you in a minute that just what we just kind of tied in as a thought or two to show a limb this way and a limb that way and whatever, that it would have taken a volume of books. A volume of books. Just to have wrote down those few things that's been revealed to me concerning this great, mighty revelation that reaches clear to heaven as comprehending the height and down into the depths of hell as to comprehending the depths and from everlasting to everlasting as comprehending the width. And those things, I could write volumes of books because it is a mind, it is a world. See, and a lot of you don't get nothing but just a little nibble. And you don't even have the patience to sit and get that. You know, 30-fold, 60-fold, going on to a full reward. You'd rather hunt. You'd rather fish. You'd rather eat. You'd rather spend. You'd rather make money. You'd rather gossip. You'd rather visit your relatives. You'd rather read a book. You'd rather read a newspaper. You'd rather see television. See, but I haven't given my life to this. I'd rather be in this world. I'd rather get these wonderful heavenly treasures that comes into my earthen vessels. See, I've got a hope chest. I'm expecting something to happen someday. So then in this, there's Brother Jimmy. What is he doing? For years he's travailed to help build little Bethlehem. Worked. I mean he's worked. He's worked while a lot of them gossiping and talked about it. He worked. Got up early. He worked. See, and he give, and he's done. Until that time comes, the child is born. The fullness of time. And then with that, the woman goes into a wilderness because there's a place prepared for her. Time's time and a half a time. What about that? I'm just speaking of a present-day truth here, of a little something here. Some of you really perked up because you said, oh my God, there is something to it. You know? But you're losing out, folks. You're losing out. You don't realize it. You're losing out. This thing is happening right before you. Brother Branham said this next move, the third pull, said it'll move right through the church and they'll never see it. So then in this, what is it? Where is Jimmy going? He's going over to Pope. Why to Pope? Because of the great whore that's set upon many waters. That's what it is. Isn't that what it is? Read it about the woman. Read it about the beast. Look over there in that area and see how they practice harlotry. See, and a lot of things that we could say that I don't need to put on tape. Someone might hear it, become offended. It could cause problems. Pluck up a tear, you might get some wheat. But I'm telling you enough to where you can understand. See, why is that? What I spoke of about the golden Lincoln going over. And then the truck coming back, the ones down the dove. And a lot of these things, there'd be foolishness because you don't understand. I don't have time to detail them. I couldn't go into it.
Some of the audience sitting here, you don't realize it. You've come to hear me preach and come to hear me preach. And you've heard many things. And they've got, I don't know how many hundreds of tapes. See, they've got those hours of tutoring you. But besides that, you don't understand that there has been hours and hours and hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours that I've talked to some people, different people. Hundreds of hours that they've got things that they heard that you have never heard. And as far as I know, you won't ever. And then you feel like because you've come to church, you've got the revelation. See, you don't understand. You just don't understand. See, some of you have got something in bits and pieces. And some of you have read so many books, you're like a bookworm. You know. But that don't mean nothing. See, this is above your learning. This has to be revealed to you. Pray God will grant unto us spiritual revelation. That is, pray that God will give us the spirit of revelation. Like Brother Gerald was telling me up here with some people over in the mountains back up here. Tennessee, numbers of those people, some have been very hostile even toward this, but now some is beginning to say, we would like to have something for our people. And they're looking in this direction. See, if it's not true, then Gerald is the one that's guilty. He's the one that said it. I feel somebody rise up a little bit, talk it out with him. He's the one that said it. All right, so then, I'm just saying this. See, why is Jimmy leaving? You couldn't have drugged Jimmy away from Bethlehem. Jim has made a statement down through the years continually. I ain't going. That's it. I ain't going. You need to talk to him about it. All of a sudden, Jimmy's willing to go. See, the preparation of man's heart is from God. I made the statement that he would go because of revelation. He's going. See, that means that something has taken place. The woman is going into a retirement. Going into a rest. It doesn't matter how you look at it. I know Brother Jim is going to win souls. He's going to do something for God. But see, with all of the problems that Jimmy would have over there, other than some bad thing happening, Jimmy would still be in a retirement to get away from the problems of the IRS and all these things that's hounded him like a hound dog. So, I'm saying that that has to do with the woman going into the wilderness. Okay, if Jimmy's going over there, then that means that something has happened. A child has been born. The Bible said, upon his shoulder shall be the government. See? Now, I know you don't understand, because God uses types and shadows. But folks, that don't mean some natural person has certainly sprung out like a kangaroo and said, well, bless God, I'm here at last. And some of you are just so naive in your doings, or you're so far from the things of God, until when you see something, you see somebody, you say, bless God, that's it. Brother Pike said that was it. I never said nothing like that. Are you listening? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you can't realize what a great congregation you got. I know that. Perhaps I really don't. But sometimes you can't realize what problems some of you are. Like the vision I had, what was it, two nights ago? I look out in my audience, I'm standing away over here, and there's a big audience out there. And I look, and here's my audience, a fine audience. But out of the audience, I've got one, two, three, four, five, I don't know how many. Numbers of them just scattered around. And what are they doing in my audience? They're sitting there smoking a cigarette. And they're huffing and puffing on a cigarette. And they're upset at me. I keep doing like that. You know, I say, no. As my little lady says, you know, no. I said, you can't do that. Like that, and they puff on their cigarette. In division, I saw Brother Jerry, and he's over here. Brother Lambert, he's just pleading with him. Tell you, can't smoke in church. One fellow, he just jumps up, and he's going to bop Jerry right in the nose. He wants him to know he can smoke in church. I'm talking about smoking in church. You say, oh, now nobody wouldn't be like that, Brother Pike. You'd be surprised to know that naturally speaking, there are people that smoke cigarettes and they get upset with you because you don't make allowance. They want to go to heaven too. And because you say they can't go to heaven smoking, if you use that term, they're really upset. And yet they're in the church. They're part of the church, as we say. But I'm speaking of this. Jerry over here, and I look over to my right, and here sits a fellow with what we used to call as a little boy a dough face. That is to say, another face. He's got a whole face, a mask. He's sitting there in one hand with a cigarette in the mouth of the dough face. He's sitting there, and he's just sitting there, just as pious, grinning at me and this other face over here. The only thing I could get out of is God meant he was two-faced. In other words, he does one thing outside the church, he does another thing on the inside church, but this was part of my audience. And I thought, well, Lord, what does this mean about Brother Jerry? And then it come to me like this. The Lamb is pleading with him, but it don't do any good. Brother Lambert. You know, the Word is pleading with him. It's not you speaking, but Christ speaking. But it doesn't do any good. So I said all that to say this. Maybe I do have more justification than you would think when I reprove my audience. Maybe I do have some reason for saying that you need to move up a little bit. At least I didn't see you going to sleep. I think the fast woke you up. All right, so then we're not half going to get into what John asked about here. But I'm just saying this. What about the sounding of this trumpet? What about the sounding of this trumpet? Who is this that sounded the trumpet? And when will it sound? Who is it? Somebody said, well, it's brother such and such and such. Well, was it or is it? Or can you prove it? When does it happen? What takes place? How do you know that you're right? Like one man said concerning the seventh angel. So how many seventh angels are there? Everywhere he goes, he hears about one. So the woman, she goes into the wilderness. So then, does that have to do with Brother Jimmy Kirk? Well, you know, he that can see, let him see. Whatever he can receive, let him receive it. So what does it mean that we're waiting for some flashy, dashy fellow that's looking for some great something to happen to him, you know, to come and say, here I am at last. I know you waited a long time for me, but here I am. Do you think God is going to bring forth some junk like that? What are we looking for? We're looking for Christ. Amen. He's the hero. He's the head of the church. He's the one to be praised. And the Bible said in that day, no other man shall be exalted, but he alone shall be lifted up. We're looking for Christ. We're wanting to find Christ. And as long as you've got your eyes in the natural realm, you're never going to find Christ. Because God is not a man that he should repent or lie. So then, what are we looking for? You, with your natural eyes, you're looking at the flesh. And you're looking for something natural to happen to sweep you off of the earth in what you call the rapture. And you're looking through your natural eyes, and you're blind as a bat. What you need to do is get your spiritual eyes open. Though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Get your spiritual eyes open. Get your eyes of understanding open. Look to God. Turn to the things of Christ. And then, as Brother Branham said, you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see it. But you, with your natural eyes, you're not going to see the good when it comes. Because the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded your eyes of understanding and you're wide awake in your natural sight. And you're seeing all these things and you're judging people after the flesh. And you're looking to people as natural people, knowing them after the flesh and not knowing them after the Spirit. And because of this, you've got yourself in a terrible complex to where nobody can help you. So then, will Brother Jimmy go over yonder? What will that mean to you and I? Nothing. Some of you will never see it. You'll never know it. Even though I spoke what I did tonight, you'll still never understand it. You know, tomorrow be eating and drinking and lollipops and whatever and on your way. You know, right on down the drain. Right back to the old Indian death wall. Right back to the wallowing in the mire. Right back to the lapping of the vomit. But yet, great and mighty things are taking place. Like in the vision, I remind you so much. I said, and look, folks, at the things that are taking place in heaven. The mind of Christ is heaven. That's the spirit world. See, and seeing all them great, mighty things, I said, look, folks, look at these things. But they didn't see them. So then, to whomsoever it is given, to whomsoever it is revealed. One people for one world, one people for another world. So we're not going to try to press on into anything much other than this. I'm just telling you this one thing. But as Brother Jimmy goes over there, it has great significance. Great significance. Brother Larry Bullard coming over here and Jimmy going over there. And Larry comes to Daryl's house and Jimmy goes to Larry's house. Great, mighty things are happening in the exchange even of the homes and of the lives as to what they represent. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? Okay, let me say one more little thing and maybe we'll try to close because I know you're getting cold. Okay, now. I went to get a sandwich the other night. I was sitting there with about three men. We were sitting there eating a little bite. And I told them, I said, you know, I said, it's hard for people to see spiritual things, to understand spiritual things. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. I was sitting there and I spoke like this. I said, now, you know, I said, we need to be spiritual. We need to understand. I said, things are happening all the time. And all we're seeing is just the natural, gullible side of life. Laughing and talking. We don't see the transitional changes of the Spirit. We don't see the stride of the Spirit. We don't know what's happening in the spirit world. And I said, we're on the inside. We're spirit men. See, this body is dead. This old natural, gullible serpent that's on his belly, that's always wanting something to eat. Whatever, he's dead. He's gone by Calvary. He's crucified. He's out of the way. And I'm dead to the world by the body of Jesus. And the world is dead to me by the body of the Lord Jesus. And my outer being, as to the birth from Adam, has been buried in a watery grave. And my spirit man went back to God who gave it. And it's in the spirit world. It's in the spirit world. In the spirit world, we're all as angels. Like when John started to worship that angel, he was an angel. The Bible said he was an angel. But when John started to worship him, he said, see that you do it not. I'm a prophet. I'm of your brethren. He was in heaven as an angel. You understand what I'm saying? We that have come to this understanding, we that have made the change, we that have entered into that world, don't try to know us after the flesh. You're all mixed up. You're seeing lying vanities. When you hear us, don't try to listen to us after the flesh. The Bible said it's not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father. As John said, the voice of one. See, don't behold us as that you would see as a human being. For the Bible said we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's not us living, but it's Christ living from within us. If that isn't true, why do we do the deeds of Christ? Did I not do the deeds of my own body as to the body and flesh of Adam when I was as of Adam? And do I not do the deeds of my Father now that I am of my Heavenly Father? And I have changed to him and to his way of life through the regeneration or the changing of generations from Adam to Christ or by the washing of regeneration, as to say, baptism and bearing that man that the new man might live to the new birth, as to the spiritual washing of the inner man, as to bring me forth in his likeness. So then I was sitting there talking. I said, let me just give you a crude illustration. I said, one day 13 men got together. 13 men, I said, they walked into a certain place. They sat down to eat. 13 men. Men born of a woman. Simple, natural. And there they were. Nothing but men that went there to feed their tummies. They went there to eat. They went there to take part in a meal just like you would. But all of a sudden, because there was one that sat in the midst of them that understood, all of a sudden, it wasn't just mere men anymore. After their conversation, after they eat, when they got ready to leave, instead of mere men walking out, God himself walked out in a human body. And the devil himself, having entered into Judas, the devil himself walked out. And then 11 men that were to sit upon thrones, rule, and to find another to make up the 12 foundations of the great city. Nothing but mere men. And then all of a sudden they wasn't mere men at all. When they discovered who they were and their ordination in life and what they were. Here great and mighty celebrities and dignitaries walk out of that place. You understand what I'm saying, folks? We look around at each other and we see each other. And Jesus said, who do men say that I am? See, James and John, the sons of thunder. Paul, Saul, Paul the Revelator. On and on we could go. See, what is it that God is saying to us? We come here, if we're natural minded, we're natural people, we listen in a natural way, then that's all there is to us. But I tell you something, there are some, as it was said when Paul was preaching, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believe. And folks, let me tell you something. There is, by predestination, there is at this time an elect unto God. There are some that by foreordination that has been foreordained unto eternal life. There are some that are sons and daughters of God. They are sons and daughters of God. They are living gods that can't die, that never could die. They've never known anything about death. They were made eternal from the beginning. Gods cannot die. Jesus said, though you die like men, you taste of death through this outer being as a veil and experience these things, because God has made us to be partakers of the infirmities of others, as it was God within Jesus. God didn't die, but the veil, the flesh, it tasted death, that the God on the inside might feel the infirmities and weaknesses of mankind. And so then these sons and daughters of God are gods. And they're tabernacling in these little human bodies. And they are very gods. Jesus said, ye are gods. But from the lack of knowledge, not being able to with the redemption of the body, and comprehending, not listening, not understanding, ye die like men. They've done it all down through the years. But brethren, there's going to be some that's going to come to the knowledge of what they are and who they are, and they're not going to die like men. They're going to be changed like the Bible said. Paul said, I've got a revelation. I've got a mystery. The thunders, and in the days of the voice, the mystery will be finished. And behold, I show you a mystery. So will not all sleep. So then, I'm saying that there are some that are sons and daughters of God, and there is a message, there is an enlightenment, there's a revelation, there's a thing that's given from God that will make direct connection and contact with their inner beings, and they will become aware of it, and they will comprehend, and they will realize that through the means and measures of this thing that's coming into them, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from enlightenment to enlightenment, proportionally speaking, it will be revealed to them that they are gods, while the rest all around will be beast. They will be beast. This came to Jesus, and it revealed to him that he was God. And the Bible said the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. When it came to Paul, it revealed to him that he was God. For he said, it's not me living but Christ, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. He received me as the Lord himself. And he went on to tell them that he was bone of the bone of Christ Jesus and flesh of the flesh of Christ Jesus, not looking at his natural man, but beholding the predestination of God as to be created in Christ under the good works of that which was to be at the change. So then, I know you don't understand because we don't have time to detail it all that much, but I am saying this, that in the midst of you, though there be few that find it, and it's a little flock, but in the midst of you, there are sons and daughters of God. And they're going to find this, and they're going to hear this, and they're going to receive this, and this thing is going to be alive on the inside as the Spirit of Revelation. And it's going to reveal to them that they can't die, they never could die, they can't sin, they never have sinned, there's no way that they can sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. The Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. That is, Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And through the foreknowledge of God, all of His works being known unto Him from the beginning, that Lamb was slain in His mind, and Brother Pike or whoever was selected unto eternal life in that bloodbath of that predestinated thing of God, making us God's workmanship in Christ, created unto good works of whatever He wanted me to be. He made Jesus to be that, and then He imputed my faith and confidence in that finished work into my heart as unto righteousness. And of course, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, unto whom God will not impute iniquity. And that's why I say a lot of you still don't understand faith. It's for sure that you don't. So I'm just saying this. Enoch translated by faith that he should not see death. And I'm going to close. Try to find a closing place right here in the next few words. See, the hour is here. The thing has happened. The child has come. Something is taking place. With God, he only uses one. Just one, that's all. Adam, as an Adam, all die. All of you die just because of that one man. And in Jesus, all are made alive. Adam as to sin and to death, Jesus as to righteousness and eternal life. All have come to life. And that's why the grace is here and the blood is poured out. As to give you that grace until these sons can be revealed. Much we can say about that and have said about it. But I'm simply saying one thing. That is, God only uses one. Just one, that's all. You can look at it any way you want to. But when it comes to the Jews, it was just one, Moses. That was all. When it comes to the Gentiles as to Rome, it's just one, that's the papacy. That's all. When it comes to America, just one, Protestant, Billy Graham. That's all. He's the final word. See, and God always just uses that. When it was the church, it was just one church. That was all. Jesus, those that spring up from that vine as to the branches. So then it'll always be that way. It's just one move of God. That's all. If you're not part of it, you're cut off. You might do your thing over here and do your thing over yonder. You might do whatever you want to. You might have a great meeting. You might have a great revival, but when you finish, you can put yourself up into any kind of preeminence you want to, make yourself anything that you want to, but when you are finished, it'll go back to one thing, and that is somebody, somewhere, you answer to them. You're springing out from them. It's a sergeant, it's a corporal, it's a captain, it's a general, and it ends somewhere. Moses' day, it was capting over 50 or capting over hundreds or whatever, but when it got back to it, it found the root. The tree goes back to the root somewhere from its many branches. All right, I want you to stand with me. Just kind of say a few things here and there to try to arouse your mind, to make you stop and think, and to make you realize how important it is to understand. Could it be possible that there are some things happening? I said something the other night, just a simple little thing. Your environment is changing. Some of you never noticed it. The colored lights at one time was on the sacred desk. Here for numbers of years it flashed across there. What was it? It had to do with the Christmas season. Like Brother Branham's death. Brother Branham heard the crash on the mountain. Joseph was all right. Brother Branham couldn't understand what it was. But later, Brother Branham was in the crash when the wreck took place. Joseph had just gotten out, gotten into Billy Paul's car. And on the mountain, he heard the scream of Joseph, the birth of the child. And then, of course, when Joseph came back to the car, he screamed out. The woman was spared, but she went away into a wilderness. A lot of things that we could see as pertaining to the marriage as to Sarah. As to the Spanish people, as to Mexico, as to the things that took place. But nevertheless, Brother Branham's crash, like the little thing that we spoke of, all of a sudden his sickness was healed. He didn't have his problem anymore, for he saw the little thing jump over into the cactus. And that was the end. It was obvious that when Brother Branham went into the glass and the glass went into his head and he went into the windshield, that the little thing went over into the cactus and that ended the problem. See, it's obvious that the veil was rent. They had to open his head, they said, as the brain was swelling. See, a lot of things that we could comment on, but I said that to say this. Something is right now taking place. The lights, where are the colored lights? See, the lights, the red lights that was over there, right there on that doorway. See, they're white lights. What did those things have to do with? They had a significance. All things have significance. There's nothing without significance. You might pout with me and stick your tongue out at me. Say, bless God, I'll do it on my own. I got me a house over here and I got me a job over there and I don't need you. All the time I'm watching you and I know exactly what you're doing. I know why you was born into the world and I know just how far you'll go and what you can do and why you're doing what you're doing. All the time. See, and that's just like that light. That little light so insignificant, the little red light, now white light. See, it related back to something. And it related back to the moon. Or somebody say, how in the world did you get that? Well, believe it or not, right over the top of that, you see, right at the point of it, that's what you call troxamite that was capped off with. Troxamite was what they used for the shield in coming back into space because they couldn't find anything that could withstand the stress and the heat. And we got it. It was put there. I didn't plan it that way. See, there was a significance. There was a meaning to it. A lot of things could be said about those doors. Everything in here. But at least, I want to point this out. You know there's seven candlesticks here. I didn't plan that. You know that Brother Branham spoke of the third pull in a panoramic view. I didn't plan that. And of a little booth in the middle of it, and I didn't plan that. And as Brother J.T. Parnell, something he said he saw coming out of here, that was to be revealed that had never been revealed before. I didn't plan that. Of what he had to do within the marriage of my son to his daughter. I didn't plan that. And when Brother Parnell sat in out here in the front yard, he saw the tree of life. That wasn't something that I said. So I'm just saying a few things to bring to your remembrance something here. Even Brother Larry Keyes wanting to fix the little motor that pertains to the big conveyor. Greatly significant, highly significant of something. The average person I've asked to fix it took no time to fix it. Somebody say, you mean them natural things, Brother Pye? I mean something like Bezalel made, like the Ark of the Covenant. Some man made it. Some man built it. Some man nailed it together. A little old thing like that being significant. Significant to this extent, it's worth more than all the world. Heap upon heap. It's worth more in natural value than all of the world and all of its potentials, whether in the ground of diamonds and rubies and pearls or whatever. It's worth more. But a man made it. It was a man-made thing. The ark, just to find the ark and somebody getting a hold of the ark, what is the worth if they really knew that was the ark? What would be paid for it? What would people give? So, I'm just saying this. You notice that there are white lights around there now. What is the significance? Brother Branham, I said he'll die just before Christmas Day. Just before the turn of the day. He died. Why did he do that? Because the birth of the child had to come. It had to come. See the lights, the colored lights? What's happening to them? Why is all this light coming in here now like this? Because it has to do with the day star dawning within your heart. If that isn't true, why all of a sudden did we change Harvest to Herald to day star? See, if you notice, they don't flash anymore. Why is that? You know, Brother Jerry has to do with the Lamb and the light of that city. He's the one that puts these in. See, why is that like that? It's because it indicates the wrath of God bypassing us. For unto you a child is born, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And the Bible said, and the angel appeared on the hillside to the shepherds, saying, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. That is, the child is here now. And so then it changes in all of the attributes of the color. What is it? They're swallowed up in him. And the capstone comes crying, grace, 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 Calvary. And then the light, God the great light, strikes the prism. And then the refraction. And then the separation of the colors as to the seven church ages, as to the rainbow. And then down at the end, the sevenfold light back to its originality. And what does it do? It comes back to its light. For science say that all of the colors is in white. The Ancient of Days. A lot of things that we could say. But if you notice, the flashing has stopped. Calm. Calmness. Peace. And the Bible said, when the veil was rent in twain, to see this great thing, as to the carnal mind in separation of those that are carnal and those that are spiritual, as to the body, as to the spirit, as to the burial, as to the resurrection, as to water baptism. Many things we could say about that. But in that this has happened, nobody entered into the temple during that time. But when the law is folded up and laid away, as we said, when the fullness of time comes, then it's peace on earth and goodwill toward man. See what has happened? Something has taken place. I know you don't understand. Why is it all of a sudden that Brother Billy Paul and the others, they're not going to have their meeting in Jeff? We had spoke of that coming. Why all of a sudden is that we have the building like we spoke of for the coming Easter? Why did God do it like that? See, and why is it that Lamar came up the other night and those things took place that we spoke of? The guns were taken out. Lamar just had to see them. And all of a sudden I heard something say, remember the vision, the night vision. And I was sitting there talking about guns. And I said, you know, I said, I had a strange vision. Of course, you're acquainted with this. You've heard me tell it. I said, I went to Brother Branham's wife. And she said, George, I want to give you Brother Branham's guns. And I said, no, I could never take those guns. But she said, I want you to have them. Said, he's gone on a long journey and said he won't be back. See, Lamar picked up the first part of that fresh meat. We mentioned something the other night about that. And went right in there with it. Right there where that platform was of the tent from Jeffersonville. That had to do with the harvest. And all of a sudden, Billy Paul and them. What's happened? Where is the harvest? They've been coming eating every year. Could it be there's a Jordan and some folks have crossed it? Intellectually defined, being a natural thing to be carnally minded is death, according to spiritual discernment. Things of God are spiritually discerned. So then, could it be that somebody has gotten over the Jordan? And in doing that, that there's a new harvest. And that the old harvest is given out. Could be. Joseph had to do with the birth of the child, and he has started his ministry. And his dad did say unto him, Joseph, my son, thou art a prophet. Somebody says, just one prophet. I don't believe that. Where'd you ever get that? I know you folks run around and they see that all over the country. One prophet, there ain't no such to that. The Bible said in the fivefold ministry there was prophets. Pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets. In the days of Paul, though Paul was mighty as an apostle, there was a number of prophets. Though there is something else in the land, there was a Paul in the land. Anyway, I hope you can understand. Let's sing a little chorus together. It didn't say that those prophets was made the overseer of the church. Paul was the one that was called up to the third heaven that could see. He was the one. It was revealed to him. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven
of rest. And I'll say all the wild cease no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing it with me again? I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? I feel God. God is good to us. I know that you don't see. I know that you can't see. But beloved friend, there are some that though they be babes, yet them little eyes will come open. When the veil is rent, the opening of the matric, and the firstborn is called holy unto God. The great drama, the curtains open, and the little one appears. And then he opens his little eyes. Have to know in his little eyes with eyesight. He swaddled and threw. And as the Bible said, there's no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. And as the water comes as to the carrier, as to the little body, as to the bath, as to buried in his likeness. And as he cries out, as the Spirit enters in, for ye shall receive the Spirit once that ye went down beneath the water. And Mother Earth gives up the body once again. See something so beautiful, something so lovely. Mother sometimes goes into the twilight zone, down through the valley of the shadow of death. And the anguish of the travail, and yet the Bible said, when the little one is cuddled, and after that he comes, there's no more remembrance of the travail in that a little one has been born. A little one has come. I could say some things here, but it would invite problems, so on. Some people don't understand, they don't think right, they're naive. But there is something that has happened. Something that has happened. That something relates back to what we've said so many times. Trumpet sounds, things are said, things happen. And we being not spiritual, we neither see anything coming nor going. And right before our very eyes, things happen. And as Peter said concerning Calvary, the end of the world. You're the people upon whom the ends of the world come. Why, those people thought, no doubt, Peter, you must be crazy. The end of the world is not here. Somebody would be real bold, you know, to protect their ignorance. And they'd say, well, what it meant was Peter was just letting us know that by and by it was going to happen. It just took all these hundreds of years for it to get here. No, that wasn't what it was. Peter had been talking to Paul. And something had happened, but the world didn't see it. Like Brother Branham said, it's moving right through you. Never see it. Something had taken place. And that's why we sing the song like we do. And we're going to sing it again tonight. Let's sing the song, Time Shall Be No More. The altars are open. while we sing this song together.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Sing it with me.
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. Time shall be.
Sing it again with me.
Shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. Time shall be no more.
And the Bible said in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Got it just right. Never missed it at all. He knew just exactly when to send Him forth. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, born of a woman. But He sent forth the Son right at the very time that He was supposed to send Him forth. He knew just when to send Him forth. See, and this is the significance as to Revelation 10 and 7. And we sing it again.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. Time shall be.
Peter said, and ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come. But they never seen the ends of it. But I said the other night, though we don't believe it, yet they're flying around out there in space and they've seen the ends of the world. And they've looked back on it. And as I said, if you didn't know when time come, you wouldn't know when it left. If you didn't know how the world got here, you wouldn't know when the end of it was. And if you didn't know when time come, you wouldn't know when it left. And if you didn't understand what it was and that you'd never seen it, it's for sure that you wouldn't understand when it wasn't around to be seen. So it means that things happen. And they happen in a dimension and in a world that you don't see. And you would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean I don't see it? The Bible said, and the wicked shall not see when good cometh. And the Bible said, and they shall not see when it's nigh even at the door. Ye are the elect, ye shall know. But the others shall not know, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. And the Bible said they cannot see because Lucifer, even the god of this world, he hath blinded their eyes that they should not see, even the eyes of their understanding, as we understand the scripture to mean. See, and so then, you don't know where you're at. You don't know where you're at. You say, what do you mean I don't know where I'm at, Brother Pike? You couldn't know where you're at because you don't know where you've been. And if someone doesn't know where they've been, how could they know where they're at? Let's sing it one more time, can we?
And time shall be no more. No more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. time shall be no more.
Think of it like this. When the angel of Revelation 10 stood with his hands up and swear that time would be no more, what happened? What happened? Nothing. Nothing. They just kept right on living. They just kept right on eating. They just kept right on traveling. They just kept right on going. They just kept right on doing what they've been doing before. Read it. See if I'm telling you the truth. Why, even after he said time won't be no more, it didn't even bother the Antichrist. He just went right on doing his thing. Isn't that right? But nevertheless, I believe what he said, don't you? I believe what he said.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. And time,
sing it one more time with me.
And time shall be.
What are we talking about? Talking about in the fullness of time. Spoke of the shadows coming and where time came from. We spoke of how long time was to continue. And we spoke of the time or the season when time would diminish. And then time would be no more. We spoke of the means and measures and boundaries of time. And how that time would diminish into nothing. So we sing it again.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. And the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more.
So then someone would say, Brother Pike, where is time? Jesus said, it's always your time. He said, then my time hath not yet come. But there's some of you that are not time creatures. You're not time creatures. You pass through this little expansion of time. You pass through this little seasonal thing. But you never was a time creature. You never came from time. You was before time ever came. And you will be after time is no more. So you're not a time creature. With time creatures, there is a time to be born. With time creatures, there is a time to die.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. And time shall be no more.
I want you to lift your hands up with me. Something has happened. Something has taken place. All around us, the whole world about us is illuminated with his presence. For the Bible said he is above you, he is in you, and he is through you. But do you ever see him? Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. But as to the world, the Bible said you've never known him, you've never seen him, never at any time. But once you have known him, you cannot sin. And the Bible said if you sin, you've never known him. For to know him is to be free from sin and for him to make an end of sin in your life. And if that is right, then you are dead. The body is dead because of sin. And if the body be dead, then where is the time creature? And if the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it and the heavens have received it, then where is time? Is there then time in heaven? Is there a time to be born in heaven? Is there a time to die in heaven? Is there a time to go to work in heaven? Is there a time to sleep in heaven? Is there a time to awake in heaven? You're not in the earth. I've chosen you out of the world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. While we're standing here thinking about these things, you need to ponder. Something has happened. Something has happened. Peter said, and ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, but the world went right on. But beloved friend, it was so clear that Calvary was the judgment upon all mankind, and that it was not made manifest because all mankind had never yet been born into the world. All that was to receive the wrath of God, and they had to wait until that time and season and then to manifest it. It was also very plain that a new world had come in. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And a new world had come in. A new people had come in. And even though all of them had not yet been born into the world, as to whom was to be part of it, or as to who was to receive the reward of this everlasting seal of eternal life, yet it was to be made manifest at the end of the generation that were to be born. That all of this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And the beauty of this was to be revealed. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. It's coming. It's got to move into its age. It's got to move into its season. Things that I cannot speak, he said, because it is not lawful for me to speak them. It is out of season. But there'll come a day. There'll come a day. He said, whether in my body or out of my body, I don't know. He said, I know I went up into the third heaven. Or I know of a man. And here we are, way over here in our generation. See, there's something that's happened. Something that's taking place. What is it? What is it that is so great and mighty that is taking place? What is it that's happening? Something has to be revealed. There's something called the revelation of Jesus Christ. How beautiful it is, folks. How wonderful it is. And yet, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of mankind at any time the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed it or made it revelation unto us by His Spirit, even unto babes such as are willing to learn. So then the great thing has happened. What will go on from here, Brother Pike? Well, it would take all night long just to comment a little bit, to detail a few things. But what will happen from here? Great and mighty things. I thought about Dale coming from Corpus Christi and what Corpus Christi had to do with. We say Dale Starr. What happened when he went to Israel and what we spoke of, and my daughter being down here, Melody Sue, that has to do with Canada. I'd have to explain those things. But there's something that's happened. And I see it everywhere. I see it in the sun. I see it in the moon. I see it in the stars. And the Bible said the heavens declare His handiwork. And all of the earth is full of His truth and His knowledge. And I see it everywhere. While we're standing here, I'm going to ask Brother Atlee to come up and pray. And while Atlee's praying tonight, I want you to stop and consider. Something has happened. Something has happened. The summer is gone. Winter is here. The harvest is past. The Bible said, and you're not saved yet. Ye that have eyes to see, and ye that have ears to hear. Having eyes ye see not, to some. Having ears ye hear not. To some, but to him that hath eyes to see, no man can receive anything save it be given him of God. While Brother Atlee comes to pray tonight, I want you to ponder over these things. I want you to think over them. And I'm telling you again, as I told you the other night, ponder over these things. Give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest you should let them slip. Take heed how that you hear them, lest Satan conglomerate them in your mind. Remember, something has happened. Something is constantly taking place. And you're recipients. You're listening. You're hearing. But are you really receiving it?